I'm Morgan Springer from Next and the New England News Collaborative. Alicia Thomas is a special education teacher in Springfield, Massachusetts. She has a master's degree in comparative education with a focus in ethnic studies. And in the midst of these recent protests, she posted on Facebook about the role of teachers in dismantling racism. As a Black teacher, she says she'd like to see school administrators support teachers of color more. Alicia joins me to talk about her views. Welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
So can you share what compelled you to post and what you wrote about?
So I was compelled to post mostly because of the reactions and responses to the murder of George Floyd. And I've been seeing a lot of people step up in different ways, and a lot of people taking time to process or to think about their role in this perpetuation of racism in our society and specifically our schools. As a teacher, I think about that constantly. That's part of my pedagogy. And I felt compelled to share that with the people I talk to.
And what about your views on dismantling racism in the classroom and in school building specifically, did you feel compelled to share?
I think that Black teachers and white teachers are viewed differently and accepted differently in schools. And as a Black teacher, I have not felt safe to advocate for my students in a way that I see my white counterparts celebrated in doing so. And that makes me uncomfortable because it's unlikely that I'll see more Black teachers step up if this continues to be an unsafe space.
Yeah, one of the things you wrote on in your Facebook post was, quote, "I know a lot of teachers of color doing this work and being pushed out of schools for advocating. I know more white teachers who aren't doing this work and keeping their jobs." Now, you were an ethnic studies teacher at Holyoke High School in Western Massachusetts, nearby to where you're teaching now. And can you talk about your experience there and what happened?
As a teacher in the first 3 years of their professional practice in a district, your contract can be non-renewed for nearly any reason. And I think when I became a teacher, I didn't ever stop and say, I need to keep my job before I do what's right. I always thought of putting the students first, regardless of what that meant outcome-wise. In Holyoke, there was a policy that ended up targeting students of color that wore do-rags. Do-rags are a head attire for men of color to create a certain hairstyle. And so a lot of our boys wanted this hairstyle. A lot of our boys were wearing these do-rags. And all of these boys were boys of color. The rule, I think, was intended to create a safe space for everyone, but it actually targeted groups of color, students of color. And so when I brought that up to the principal and explained why I could not enact the policy, he asked me to sign a form saying that I was insubordinate because I wouldn't follow the policy. And I did not give him time to change it. That was very confusing. Because for me, it was a matter of safety and survival for the students, right? The students were being suspended, were being yelled at and made uncomfortable in the space that was intended for their learning.
So what happened next?
So I think that's when he decided to not renew my contract.
So your contract was not renewed, and to feel like your contract was not renewed because you wouldn't enforce this do-rag policy, how has that impacted you moving forward?
Well, I'm very clear and careful about presenting myself to a school when I'm interviewing. I explain to them that my work in racial equity is tied to my pedagogy and tied to my life, like my livelihood and my existence. And so it's not something I can separate from. I explain up front that I will always put my students first, but I will always push them to excel academically. And I don't think that I'm sacrificing their academic needs when I support and empower them racially.
Based on your experience, are public schools not doing a good enough job tackling the issue of racism?
Absolutely not.
And what do you think what can schools be doing more to enact change?
So when we think of schools, so often we're thinking about teachers automatically. We're not thinking of the school leaders, superintendents, and principals that are the decision makers in the school. And I want to see more superintendents hiring principals of color with critical consciousness. I want to see principals hiring assistant principals that will hold them accountable. But superintendents are not often thinking about the racial equity issue when they're hiring principals.
I guess it's just an open-ended question, but is there anything else that you want to share about your experience right now and what's been going through your mind as a teacher or otherwise?
I'm very thankful to be in the current school I'm in, where I feel supported by my principal to engage in conversations about race, not only with my colleagues, but also with my students. I feel empowered in this space and in this school, which is not something I felt in any of the schools I've worked in previously. And if teachers were in spaces where they could grow professionally, we would see a huge difference in cultural proficient curriculum, in how our students and teachers are building relationships.
Alicia Thomas is a teacher in Springfield Public Schools. Alicia, thank you so much for sharing your perspective and your experience.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
We reached out to the executive principal of Holyoke High School. That's the school that chose not to renew Alicia Thomas's contract in 2019. He said they could not discuss personnel matters, but regarding the policy prohibiting do-rags, he said, quote, "At the end of my first year at Holyoke High School, after listening to students, faculty and staff, and community members, we reversed the policy and now allow students to wear do-rags, beanies, and baseball caps worn with the brim facing back," unquote. He also said the school is committed to increasing staff diversity and has done so for the past 2 years. Listen to Next on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.